Because this morning, it's afternoon actually, but I realized there's a lot of energy in the House of Assembly. Madam Speaker, I must say that the Prime Minister of this country throughout the year has prepared the country and the people of St. Lucia. And I can recall in two statements which he made to the House when he spoke about the effect the global financial crisis was having on St. Lucia and the economies of CARICOM. He made it clear that at a meeting of CARICOM that decisions were taken to intervene in the multi corporations. I can recall he mentioning CLICO and the other insurance companies, where government realized that these companies was in interaction with a lot of people of the Caribbean and in St. Lucia too, and that measures had to be taken to assist these companies, and in some cases, Madam Speaker, the government had to intervene in terms of trying to assist these companies to charter the way forward. These indications, Madam Speaker, I must say, I listened very carefully, and I too understood the magnitude of the global financial crisis and the effect it was having on the local economy and the Caribbean. And from these statements, Madam Speaker, which were made on time by the Prime Minister of this country, I too, Madam Speaker, started thinking of ways to adjust and speaking to my constituents. And at any time, Madam Speaker, I had the opportunity to have discussions on matters pertaining to the economy, I echoed the voice of the Prime Minister. I feel that, Madam Speaker, it is very unfair for members or persons to say that the Prime Minister never prepared the country for what was happening globally. I think the Prime Minister did a very good job, Madam Speaker, in trying to get Parliament and his cabinet to understand what was happening globally. Madam Speaker, the global economic situation has brought about new challenges. The lesson learned from the global financial crisis can either give government and the people of St. Lucia the will to strengthen its economic ties between government, the local private sector, and the public sector. Madam Speaker, we must recognize that the lesser developed nations were not responsible for such a massive global financial crisis. But because of our reliance on developed nations to foster our economic growth, St. Lucia and these other developing nations had to bear the responsibility, Madam Speaker, of implementing strong fiscal policies to ensure that we avert total economic disaster. Madam Speaker, I am one of those who believe that the global economic challenges has given us an opportunity as a nation to strengthen areas within our economic planning which has been taken lightly for many years, and we must now redirect and correct that situation. Madam Speaker, for too long our governments have based a high percentage of its economic growth and activities on projections from foreign investments and initiatives in areas where we as a nation can influence and participate in these investments. the public sector, the local private sector, and government must now form alliances to invest in productive areas that would generate employment. This budget, Madam Speaker, in many areas have addressed this situation. Therefore, Madam Speaker, opening a window for the government and the private sector to start up initiatives that would stimulate economic and influence local investment. Madam Speaker, you know, I am very happy with this budget, Madam Speaker. I'm very serious about it, and members across would know that I've been very consistent and critical in certain areas. Very consistent, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, for the first time in a long time, I've seen a budget which addresses the fact of the way we used to actually direct our economic planning, Madam Speaker. You know, Madam Speaker, over the years, and especially when I was in the opposition, Madam Speaker, I won the then government that I did not have problems with the way they were borrowing, Madam Speaker. I did not have problems with borrowing, Madam Speaker. I did not have problems with any investment opportunities that the government was trying to get into, which would benefit the country. But Madam Speaker, I had a problem with the fact that when these monies were borrowed, Madam Speaker, they did not realize positive investments in areas that would be sustainable. So this budget, Madam Speaker, you could see it is a budget that has taken into consideration the errors that have happened in the past. It's clear. And it is a budget preparing the people of St. Lucia. You know, and I wish it was a budget set that was done, Madam Speaker, when we are moving into the 21st century. You know, when the Honorable Prime Minister can face the nation, Madam Speaker, and explain to the nation in his budget that he is going to take or is going to seek new initiatives, Madam Speaker, with the private sector. Not only in areas of tourism, Madam Speaker, but in areas of manufacturing, in areas of agriculture, then I believe, Madam Speaker, the vision of the Minister of Finance need to be commended. You know, it was a problem I had, and I used to sit in the House of Assembly over and over and over again, Madam Speaker, trying to explain to the House that we are moving in the wrong direction, and that someday, when doors will close on us, and when things will happen globally, we then would have to revert to other forms of investment. Madam Speaker, this is a true budget. I say it is a true budget, and the members on the other side will admit that too, Madam Speaker. I'll tell you why. Every aspect of this budget, Madam Speaker, could be realized. Every aspect, Madam Speaker. There is no bluff in this budget, Madam Speaker. No bluff. It is calling on in certain areas is calling on the people of this country and the private sector to come together and to move into new arrangements. And that is the kind of budget for small island states like St. Lucia. We need to get ourselves involved in, Madam Speaker. It is not a budget crying out or selling big investments that would not be realized. No? Madam Speaker, I will try not to venture and continue with my statement, with my budget. But you know, I had a problem when I was in opposition, when the then government spoke about a four-lane highway from Castries to Viewfort. And in every budget, the then government used to mention the four-lane highway from Castries to Viewfort. And I had problems with that, Madam Speaker, because we never saw the day of the design fallacy for the construction. You know? So, you know, I would not like to venture in these areas, Madam Speaker, because I would like to follow the statement made by the Prime Minister for cooperation on all sides, the opposition, the trade unions, and so on. I won't get into if I get into victimization, Madam Speaker, I believe that would be the end of the budget, because it would really identify what was really happening in this country when the Labour Party government, Madam Speaker, was governing this country. I was the then leader of the opposition, and I spoke about victimization. And I didn't just bluntly just turn and say victimization. I told the government that they started wrong by having the affirmative action, which is the biggest form of victimization. Affirmative action to ensure that the party hacks were placed into certain positions. It was Speaker, a decision they took, Madam Speaker. It's not something I'm saying openly.
Honourable Member,
Madam Speaker, on a point of clarification, I think it's very important that the records of this Honourable House shows that the member for Denry North has indicated that the Labour Party government practiced affirmative action with party hacks. I would like him to substantiate it with facts, dates, figures, names of persons. If not, he should withdraw the statement. Thank you.
Honourable Member for Denry North.
I would like to respond to the statement, and then you will make your judgment. Madam Speaker, when you are asked to produce facts and figures, that when you have a statement which has been exhausted, Madam Speaker, in the media, which was taken, you had a situation where the general membership of the St. Lucia Labour Party at that time took a decision at a convention. Why should I come in here when the statement was made, Madam Speaker, furnished, recorded, to give facts and figures? I cannot give figures on the matter, Madam Speaker.
Okay, Honourable Member, from my own information, I need evidence of this. And without evidence of this, please allow me to finish so that all members have it clear. When I do not have evidence before me that supports what you say, I would like you not to say it, or having said it, to withdraw it.
Okay, Madam Speaker, I would like to withdraw the statement until I can produce the evidence in some other sitting on the matter. But Madam Speaker, the statement, you know, sitting here and realizing the effort the present government is making, and I wouldn't like to stray away from my budget speech, but I think somebody alluded to the fact that this government was victimizing persons of this country. And I do not agree to that, Madam Speaker, because the reason why is I know on most projects, most things that are happening in this country, and I've been saying it all the time, I think that's the second time I'm saying it in the House, that the opposition is always included in whatever development that's happening. They get their fair share. In some cases, Madam Speaker, I know allocations are made to opposition constituencies where the allocations are far superseding my allocations for my constituency. No, it's a fact. It's record. It's a fact. Okay, and I guess the Minister of Communication and the other ministers would allude to that. Madam Speaker, so I believe, Madam Speaker, the budget is preparing St. Lucian for the challenges. When you have a situation where your economy is depending on other economies, Madam Speaker, when you have a situation where we depend on external forces to assist us with our development, and then you have a further situation where these external forces, Madam Speaker, and countries like the United States now face a serious financial crisis, you then now, Madam Speaker, have to adjust. And this is exactly what the budget is doing. But it is clear that St. Lucia is prepared for its challenges, Madam Speaker. And this budget, Madam Speaker, is creating an opportunity for the locals themselves to engage in areas of investment that the foreign investors, Madam Speaker, might be reluctant now to get into. Madam Speaker, again, the budget talks about the reopening of the St. Lucia Development Bank. You know, I listened to the member from Cast Resist, and that's business supposed to be his specialization, Madam Speaker, but he never made mention to the St. Lucia Development Bank. It is a very good move, Madam Speaker, by the government to invest in a development bank. Very good move. And I can recall the opposition saying it was badly timed, that was not, they didn't have to get into the investment of a bank. But that's the best time to do it because, Madam Speaker, really and truly, it's a national bank. The bank has been nationalized as it starts. And what you have happening globally is governments actually bailing out banks. That's what you have happening globally. So government use taxpayers' money to bail out financial institutions. Madam Speaker, the government of St. Lucia saw it necessary to reopen the St. Lucia Development Bank. Because, you know, Madam Speaker, when you mention these things, the opposition always tell you, don't get into the past. But I wonder what vision the opposition had, Madam Speaker, when they decided to close the St. Lucia Development Bank. I wonder what vision they had. You know, Madam Speaker, the opposition known as the St. Lucia Labour Party, I can recall myself, Madam Speaker, in the early 80s, when you speak about the St. Lucia Labour Party, it was a party I would take time to listen to what they were going to say because they spoke about the philosophy, about a mixed economy, nationalizing some industries and so on. But Madam Speaker, in the late 90s, the St. Lucia Labour Party lost its focus, Madam Speaker, and they became a capitalist government. And today, Madam Speaker, the government of the United Workers' Party is showing the St. Lucia Labour Party what they should have done, Madam Speaker, when they were governing this country. Where was the vision, Madam Speaker? A development bank around that time, together with another national bank that was doing very well. In all countries around the world, what you had was, like St. Lucia, a number of banks, private banks, Royal Bank, and so on. And the government always had a certain control in one of the banks, Madam Speaker, which they usually call the National Bank, so that it could foster certain initiatives, Madam Speaker, or direct certain initiatives in the country, Madam Speaker. But instead, they chose to close the development bank. Madam Speaker, with the vision of this Prime Minister and the government of St. Lucia, no, that's serious business. And I'll show you the effect the development bank is having on the fiscal policy of this government, Madam Speaker. The bank was reopened, Madam Speaker. And not just reopened, the government of St. Lucia capitalized the bank, Madam Speaker. And today, in the Prime Minister's budget, he hasn't forgotten the youth of this country. And how is he doing it, Madam Speaker? How is he doing it? Not sending the youth all over the place without no direction. You now, with his new initiative, Madam Speaker, the young people of this country are not scattered with a closed development bank, not knowing what to do, running all over the place. They can now go to the development bank, Madam Speaker. And I'm sure, with the Prime Minister's vision, Madam Speaker, he will ensure that there are officers that can sit down with the youth of this country and help them design their way forward, Madam Speaker. That is what a government is for. You must serve as the catalyst to stimulate economic activity, to get the youth out from the ghettos. You're not just going to bring monies in the pocket, Madam Speaker, but provide them, Madam Speaker, with the tools and the mechanism to do it, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, I believe in all what has been happening, and I listen to the member from Castries very carefully, that institution covers a very wide area, you know, and it was listed in the Prime Minister's statement. It covers the farming sector, where it could, you could put your programs in there to target them. It covers the tourism sector, you know, the farmers, the fishermen. And he didn't think twice to just talk about the thing was going to do. But he mentioned the areas. You know, when your Prime Minister mentioned areas, that means it's serious. He wants to see that the farmers, the fishermen, the small persons who are engaged in touristic development, Madam Speaker, get an opportunity to get the finances, Madam Speaker, and not only the finances, the guidance through the institution to develop themselves and St. Lucia. And that is what I was expecting. And you know, most of the opposition members, Madam Speaker, and even my members here know me well. Sometimes when I'm a nationalist, Madam Speaker, I really believe in St. Lucia. I will do anything in the right way for St. Lucia. And today, Madam Speaker, I would like St. Lucians to prepare themselves and they all, Madam Speaker, work with this government to see that this budget can come to reality and work well, Madam Speaker. It is a budget for the people. You know, apart from the development bank, which is going to assist all sectors in this country, Madam Speaker, there was made mention of government getting into, you know, going into to partnership alliances with the trade unions, listening to the trade unions, incorporating their considerations, government in partnership with the local private sector, Madam Speaker. And, you know, I sat back and I said, Madam Speaker, with all this talk on the other side, Madam Speaker, it is a budget for sure that is going to work. Madam Speaker, the budget made, the Prime Minister made mention of the trade unions and the government going into agreements to try to see if they can reopen places like Belfashion. I would like to go further, Madam Speaker, by saying that it's a new thinking. And what we should do and the opposition should do is to build up on that thinking, Madam Speaker. It's a new thinking, and it's the right direction. It is the same thing I've been saying over the years. It's consistent to what I've been saying over the years. Very consistent. Because today in this budget, not only has the Prime Minister mentioned about these initiatives, But he's making allocations for them, Madam Speaker, and I spoke about the youth program. He's actually making allocations, so he's not just calling on the country to say, look, I believe that is the direction you're supposed to move in. But he is setting the example as a government by at least providing finances to the development banks for these type of initiatives. Madam Speaker, so we need to move on. And we need, today I decided to take time, Madam Speaker, to venture into that area. Because what I would like to see in St. Lucia, and I'm very serious about it, Madam Speaker, is the coming together of persons to achieve the goal of we resisting the crisis, the financial crisis that is facing the world. And there are other crises to come. You just heard of the swine flu in health. So there are a number of, you'll always get that, Madam Speaker. But I believe I'm trying, Madam Speaker, through the budget, through the new initiative taken by the Prime Minister, to set forward a new vision in this country. A vision, Madam Speaker, that will for sure lay an unbeatable foundation in this country. A foundation that will last for a long time. Because if the government of St. Lucia can be so bold to say, I am ready to work with the private sector, with the union, not to curb you in your foot, but to work in areas of new investment initiatives. I believe, Madam Speaker, no, I need to say it because it's a new vision, and when you see the day has dawned on a country with a new vision, Madam Speaker, we all must encourage it and participate in it, Madam Speaker, in St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, I believe the civil servants too must pull out a chapter from the vision and move into the new direction, Madam Speaker. It's the new order in St. Lucia. You know, there are 8,000 civil servants in this country, Madam Speaker. If every civil servant, and maybe my figures might not be correct, but I'm saying around 8,000. Yeah. But if, Madam Speaker, each civil servant invests $100 in a public company, that would be a startup capital of $800,000. $100. Madam Speaker, it's happening in a lot of countries around the world. And I believe, you know, they could form public, like they have with the civil servants credit, union associates, credit unions. They could form public companies that could move into new areas of investment, Madam Speaker. And I'm sure it is going to work in St. Lucia. You know, so I have realized, Madam Speaker, that this budget is giving the members of Parliament, not only the members on the government side, but the members of the opposition, an opportunity. You know, what I would like to see from the opposition is saying that, look, if we were in there, it's a good budget, but if we were in there, we would do more. You know, these are the things I would like to see. But it's a good budget, Madam Speaker. And because what is happening in the global market is very worrying. Now, the financial institutions, the foreign investors were relying on, Madam Speaker, to come and invest in our country. They all are having problems. All of them are having problems. These financial institutions, Madam Speaker, we have local institutions that have invested with them. So it's just a chain. What are you going to do now as a country? How are you going to prepare your people for the challenges? And the budget is saying it, as I said before, coming together. The investors, Madam Speaker, like before, maybe they might venture into certain areas of investment in the small island states and the underdeveloped nations. They are not going to take that risk. So, for example, before, as a nation, you would have a lot of foreign investors in certain areas, Now they're not going to take that risk because to get the finances to go into the investment, it's very difficult. And so we then as a nation realize, look, that we need to continue for the country to coexist, for things to happen, for us to keep on exporting and so on. These investments are necessary. I believe it is the time where locals, Madam Speaker, through government assistance in terms of advice and so on, must come together and invest in these areas. Madam Speaker, you know, one of the things that's interesting, not only in the budget, but what happened in 2008, which we can really learn from, Madam Speaker, and today, if you notice, I've taken a new trend in my debate, and I'm looking at the errors we have made in the past, and I'm not just criticizing the Labour Party, because I realize that my government is actually putting measures in place. And when you put measures in place to correct what happened in the past, Madam Speaker, you're not criticizing, you're really correcting. And I think that is the member for Castries East. I think that was where I believe he went wrong. He kept on saying that the government is criticizing, but really and truly, the government, in its carrying out its analysis, needed to know what were the problems. They realized what were the problems. They told the country that these were the problems. They had to tell the country what were the problems before they venture into the new direction. They told the country what were the problems, and then now they are correcting the problems, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, in 2008, you realize that agriculture played a major role, Madam Speaker, in fostering economic development in this country. Another area, Madam Speaker, although, Madam Speaker, I criticize the last government for the way they allowed the banana industry to be fragmented in terms of the way they allow the privatization. This government, Madam Speaker, has made it its duty to ensure that the farmers of this country got the assistance, both financially, Madam Speaker, in terms of inputs and the advice, so that they could have continued producing to assist the economy. Madam Speaker, and it's clear that when you move in the right direction, and I would like to really allude and thank the member for Babono, the Minister of Agriculture, who I believe is very sensitive to the plight of the farmers. I must say that, and I think he needs a round of applause, Madam Speaker, and has been doing a very good job, because when I sat in that house, Madam Speaker, it was like famine. That was it for famine. The production cost was too high. And you know, Madam Speaker, over and over again, I argued two fundamental points. One, Madam Speaker, it had to do with the fact that what is the effect of famine on your economy, socially. Before I went into the economical aspect of it, I asked about the social effect. One, persons were being occupied. And you know, the late Sir John was very good at that. His philosophy was, look, go and work. Get out from the ghettos, go and work. I am the government, I will work on the marketing plans, I will put the strategies in place, but plant, I'm giving you the tools, plant, I'm making opportunities available, and it was a very good strategy, and I think the government needs to continue building upon that. I'm very serious about that. Madam Speaker, that is what that killed Jamaica and Trinidad and Guyana, and to a lesser extent Trinidad. Because they were moving in the right direction, then there was a cry in these countries that everything they do in the bauxite industry, everything they do in the timber industry was not productive, and that the cost of doing it was very high. And what was wrong, Madam Speaker, was that, and you know, that is why I support the Prime Minister with the tax on dividends. What was wrong, Madam Speaker, was that persons always hide, for all kinds of reasons, high costs, in the labor costs. So therefore, anytime you talk about the production, the cost of production, the labor cost was a very big cost. But Madam Speaker, the labor cost is the cost of those persons, your people in the country. So when your labor cost is very high, it means that you're not supposed to produce. But who's the labor? Who are the persons occupied in planting the bananas, in growing the rice? The solution, people are involved in it. So if you tell me the cost of producing bananas is very high, and I agree, it is high, and then you show me the cost of labor being so high, then I have to disagree with you in that once your variable costs, Madam Speaker, and your fixed costs, once it can reach equilibrium, that means you can cater for it, then you're supposed to produce. In most cases, Madam Speaker, we were higher than the equilibrium point in St. Lucia, and we had decided that it was bad. We were facing serious problems. Yes, we were facing challenges of quality and so on. But if you put measures in place, Madam Speaker, around that time you had live spot disease and so on, you cannot close your industry and forget about so many people because of these things, Madam Speaker. So what is happening now is the Minister of Agriculture, Madam Speaker, which I believe is mixing the economics, the agriculture, and the social aspect. He's not just saying, look, financially, stop that thing. I cannot give you input, because when I give you input and then we put it together, cost of production is too high. I cannot venture into that. He realized, Madam Speaker, that he, the country, you need to, the people need to do something. First of all, basic. They need to do something. Are you going to allow your people to just sit by the road doing nothing? The second thing is, are you going to take government money, throw it, just give the people something to do, and at the end of the day, these areas are not productive? That is the problem. That is the thing that was going through the Minister of Agriculture's mind and this present government. And that's what's going through my mind all the time. What are you going to do, Madam Speaker? You're going to take the money and tell the people, take all the money and tell them, go by the roadside and weed? You cannot do that as a government. So what this government and the Minister of Agriculture, as I said, mixing his economics, his agriculture, and this whole social aspect of things, have done, he have said, look, I'm going to give you inputs. Try to give you inputs. I'm going to encourage you to plant. First of all, it means that you're not going to sit by the roadside again. You're going to be in some economic activity. When you do that, these fruits, the products are going to be exported. For sure, it's going to assist with your balance of trade. It's going to have a positive effect on your balance of trade. And then you set off with the program. What has happened today, Madam Speaker? While, and you know, I heard the member for Catholic East talking about the heavy cost of marketing and so on in the tourism industry. We must continue to market. There must always be considerable efforts being made, because other countries in the Caribbean spend much more on the tourism marketing than St. Lucia. So we must continue in that direction. But Madam Speaker, instead of waiting for the tourism dollar to do the trick for us in St. Lucia by boosting our economy or even keeping it at a certain level while the rest of the world, including St. Lucia, faces a financial crisis, the agriculture has come in nicely, Madam Speaker. and it's noted on page 41. And I need to read it, Madam Speaker, because I do not know if sometimes we are not reading. Preliminary national account data show that the agriculture sector registered real growth of 20.5% in 2008, with strong performances in all subsectors. Value added in the banana industry is estimated at 30%, alongside growth of 21.3% and 12% in other crops and livestock subsector, respectively, Madam. You know, when the cry is out there that the economy will stall, things will happen, quietly, Madam Speaker, the government did what they are promising the manifesto and worked with the farmers. Madam Speaker, I will continue reading because the fisheries subsector recorded real growth of 11%. Madam Speaker, that didn't just stay there and happen. You know, that is what I want the members on the other side to understand. These figures didn't just stay there and come out from the cloud, or production didn't just stay there and increase, Madam Speaker. Okay? That didn't just stay there and happen. It's because of the efficiencies of the Ministry of Agriculture, you know, and the fact that this government saw it feasible, Madam Speaker, to work in partnership with the farmers and assist them in their agricultural products. Inputs, Madam Speaker. Very good vision, and I think the government needs to continue. Consequently, agriculture contribution to GDP increased from 3.3% in 1997 to 3.9% in 2008, of which the banana industry contributed 1.7% to GDP. Now, Madam Speaker, these are the things I want to hear debated by the opposition. Real growth in the agricultural sector. If you were in government, what would you do, Madam Speaker, to assist the agricultural sector? If, you know, agriculture under the last government was like, oh my God, you know. So now, Madam Speaker, I know that there are new initiatives. There is what they call the Minister of Agriculture and the government have decided to move into the establishment of the meat processing facility. The meat processing facility is not like a white elephant. You know, these cuts you have there, Madam Speaker, that are going to be established in the meat processing facilities, they are going to be chopping and chopping and chopping until we can start exporting. Well, Madam Speaker, I did not even finish make the statement, but they knew what was going to happen. You know, because, you know, while... Because, Madam Speaker, for so long you have been hearing the livestock farmers talking about, you know, the venture, they invest so much into pigs and cows and so on, and at the end of the day, the meat is very good meat because we know what we are producing, you know what's happening with the world, you have the bird flu, and so on, and because now if you know what you're producing, it is better for you. The hotels are importing so much meat. And today, the government saw it fit. Because you see, when the government took the decision to go into the meat processing unit, Madam Speaker, it is not just a mad... You know, I want the opposition to understand that this government is a government of vision, Madam Speaker. It is a government that has learned from the mistakes of the former government, that is the Labour Party government, and are now in both ways correcting it, Madam Speaker, and trying not to make the same mistakes that they made. And they realize, Madam Speaker, yes, you could come and say that I injected $50, $60 million into an economy. my GDP grow. Of course, if you inject once you inject monies into the economy, expenses in the formula of real growth, Madam Chief Speaker, would show an increase in the growth rate. Of course, you didn't do, but of course, you didn't do econ, man. Of course, you didn't do econ. It'll show anytime, Madam Speaker, government inject monies into the economy, expenses, it will show real growth. And that happened too. That's the same thing. What I'm saying, that it happened to Guyana and Trinidad. You inject monies into the economy, it shows real growth. But what happens 2 or 3 years after that? Which is what's happening to the government, this government. What happens to your government and the country 2 or 3 years after that? And so the government have realized, yes, it is our role as a government. And Madam Speaker, when I speak, I have real substance in what I'm saying, you know, Madam Speaker. I don't just sit there and say anything. You can go and research, Madam Speaker. You can go and research what I've said in this house, Madam Speaker. You can go and discuss it with other economists and all other persons, Madam Speaker, and you'll realize that I'm very consistent on target. Madam Speaker, when this government realized that it's not just a matter of fact of just saying that you're injecting capital or you spending monies in the economy. You're a small developing nation. You must ensure that the areas you spend in are areas that will realize positive growth, Madam Speaker, and sustainable development. And you know, I was consistent, and I keep on saying it again. But what happened now, Madam Speaker, with the meat processing unit? It's an area, not only, it's not just saying, look, the government of St. Lucia have spent 10 million or 12 million in a meat processing unit, but it's going to assist, number one, in cutting down your import bill. Listen to that. It's going to assist in cutting down your import bill because now, Madam Speaker, you can get more young persons and more people in the country engaged in real livestock activity. It's going to increase, if you plan properly, and I know the Minister of Agriculture will plan properly, it will increase your exports. Your employment factor will have a positive effect. Madam Speaker, and at the end of the day, your country, the country will grow. Your gross domestic product will realize a positive effect too, Madam Speaker.
Honourable Member, you have 15
more
minutes.
Yes, that's okay, Madam Speaker. That's okay. That is exactly what, Madam Speaker, this government is doing. Now, I don't have a problem. I'm telling you today, Madam Speaker, I'm a real St. Lucian, and I listen very carefully. The only reason why, Madam Speaker, I could venture to walk in this house for about 8 years now is only because I listen. I listen to the opposition very carefully. I notice there's a cry to curtail our tourism bill, and I agree, especially in the areas of marketing. I agree that we need to look at new areas. We need to look at new areas that will assist St. Lucia, that will sell St. Lucia, and that will cut down the cost of doing business in the tourism industry to the taxpayer and the people of St. Lucia. I agree with that, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, I'm not one of those that will just stay there and criticize and criticize. That's why I found it hard that the member for CASRIS did not mention about the development bank. And from the opposition's view, what he was expecting from the reopening of the bank. So, but Madam Speaker, that's their way of challenging the economic situation. Mine is different, and the government here is different. Madam Speaker, I must say, the fact that government have realized that the investment in the housing area, in the housing sector, is the way to go, especially in construction, should be alluded. I think it's very good. Because you see, what's happening is too many times we depend on our construction boom to come from the outside foreign I mean, foreign investors coming in for new initiatives. I think when you venture into the housing development, what it does, Madam Speaker, is two things. One, your physical planning, it helps into your with your physical planning. Two, Madam Speaker, it creates a construction boom, which is going to have a positive effect on your gross domestic product. It creates employment. At the end of the day, Madam Speaker, government expenditure into these projects can be recovered very quickly. And so, Minister of Housing, you must continue on your thrust. Because so what you're doing, Madam Speaker, while, and you know, it's very important to mention this thing, because the member for Castries East spoke about the fact that the capital side of the estimates in terms of loans and grants, he found it to be very high. But Madam Speaker, if the government borrow money to put into housing projects, and it says that this year my trust is to get into the housing project and so that persons in St. Lucia can get well-planned and developed communities, when they put the money into the development, Madam Speaker, the government is going to realize the monies and even profits from the development. So at the end of the day, it is a very good area to take loans for, grants, or whatever area of financing, whether it's from taxpayers' money, Madam Speaker, just like injecting money into the agricultural system, it is a very good area. So cautiously, the government, yes, will take loans. The government, yes, will seek for grants. The government will use taxpayers' money in areas, but the areas we are using it in are productive areas and will realize positive, not positive on the GDP, not only in the short term, Madam Speaker, but in the long term. That is how people must plan. And so, Madam Speaker, I am not going to come here, you know, I could go on and on and on and on, Madam Speaker, because, you know, I'm so happy with the budget and happy with the togetherness of my colleagues, Madam Speaker. I could go on, and I know, well, the other colleagues will move into the other areas. But, Madam Speaker, I'm not going to come here with a shopping list. You come here with a shopping list, Madam Speaker, when the government is not effective and it's not reaching. But with effective government, like this government, and proper management, and with, no, seriously, and with the programs of the government, Madam Speaker, you realize that the projects are reaching the constituencies, Madam Speaker. You know, that is what you call good management. You don't have to come with a long shopping list. You know, the member for Castries, he didn't come with a shopping list. He just said that, you know, these are the things to be done. And because he realized that the government is working in his constituency, Madam Speaker. So I too, Madam Speaker, have no shopping list for the government. And I believe all other members. for the government, Madam Speaker, because the government in its programs, the programs are reaching the Maliwe. It's reaching the Maliwe. It's reaching those persons that are in need of them, Madam Speaker, the little work, the little contracts, the this, the that. It's really reaching the people. And so, Madam Speaker, as I close, my constituency, I'm telling you, Madam Speaker, you know, sometimes they said that the former Minister of Health, in fact, the former Minister of Social Transformation, I look at him as being my brother, Madam Speaker. We're very close. We raised together, raised at my home, and so on, Damian Graves. We are like brothers. We sleep together, live together. When he was the Minister of Social Transformation, Madam Speaker, we spoke in length. And I continued telling him that local government is the way forward in this country. But you know, Madam Speaker, when politics does not just call for a confined vision, Maybe you could be a teacher and your vision is confined. It calls for a vision, a multi, you know, it calls for a, not only holistic, but persons that can see, it must be holistic, but persons that can see in multifaceted vision, Madam Speaker, to get it right. Thank you, member from Castle Central, and I was just referring to you. It calls for a vision like the member from Castle Central, who has a business understanding, Madam Speaker, which works very well with his day-to-day functions at the Ministry of Housing and local government. So local government, Madam Speaker, has been established in the constituency, and for the first time, the Denrin of constituency, because you see, I was very concerned about building roads, drains, every time you into concrete and so on, and the planning, the human resource planning, the planning of the constituency was left to my constituency office and that sort of thing, Madam Speaker. I believe, to be fair, if you're real St. Lucian, you forget about the fact that maybe the local government authority might challenge you in certain areas and so on, and you serve your country. And I believe the non-selfish vision and motive of the Minister of Housing and Local Government was the reason why, Madam Speaker, together with the government, why local government authorities were established in so many communities for the first time, Madam Speaker. You know, the establishment of the local government authority was something the Labour Party had it in its manifesto a long time ago, Madam Speaker. They had it in the manifesto that they were going to establish local government authority around the country. But Madam Speaker, with the kind of capitalist notion they ventured into, there was too much resistance, and they realized that they could not venture into that kind of area. But with this government, Madam Speaker, we have moved into that area. Madam Speaker, I must thank the EU, the road development in my area going on, and I guess it is a general national development. I must thank the Kuwaitis, there are about two roads to be built in my constituency. I must say these two roads were earmarked by the former government, and it's going to be built now. So you say the opposition, the government never gives you what is due for you. But Madam Speaker, I must tell you, in the arrangement, which is the major thing which this government and the Minister of Communication got into, is to ensure that locals participate in the construction of these roads. These were arrangements they did not make yet, Madam Speaker, and I know the present government made, and it's very good, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I too would like the, you see what's happening is, I keep on talking about the productive sector. There are roads, there are about three or four roads in my constituency that lead to farms and communities. These, I can almost tell you off the bat, millions of dollars of bananas, breadfruit, mangoes, everything have been produced, exported, and so on, because I'm in the business of exporting, Madam Speaker. Millions of dollars. These areas, Madam Speaker, are productive. They are productive areas, Minister of Agriculture. These areas are productive areas. And if you have areas producing and the roads are not in suitable condition, then you have a problem. You have a problem. And so I would like to address it before the rainy season. We're not going to do anything big. It's to ensure that the farmers get a little thing so that they can continue. Madam Speaker, finally, I would like to thank those persons who engage in economic activities in my constituency and help keep up the constituency with employment and so on. I would like to thank TNT Produce, Moïse, Valton Enterprise. I would like Faustin Virginie, Madam Speaker, and even half the agency. Madam Speaker, you see, these people actually buy all the products that are in my constituency and other constituencies too. And they work very closely. They provide a high level of employment in my constituency and around St. Lucia too, but I'm on my constituency now. And if you notice in the economic review, in non-traditional crops, mangoes, whatever, there was an increase in these areas. I would like the Minister of Agriculture to continue assisting the exporters, and I wouldn't want you to say that it is what conflict of interest. I think I know the opposition like to say conflict of interest, but it's real, Madam Speaker. I would like the Minister of Agriculture to assist these areas. So the Tillary-Sous-Lapel Road, the Lemon, the Grand Rivière de Bonnet, the Mon Austin, the Belmont Road, these roads and a few agricultural roads, we need to do a little easement. The Tillary-Sous-Lapel, I think we need to do some major investment in that area because it's a road leading to the East Coast and it's actually landing where the government have plans in the future to cut a road from Babono to Denry. Madam Speaker, in closing, I must say the togetherness of the current government and the fact that the current government, it's a government, Madam Speaker, that is very open and understands the needs of the people. And that's what I like about the new government, the government of the United Workers Party. And I know for sure, Madam Speaker, that we have gone through our reforms in this government. Reforming your government and moving it into the right direction is the hardest thing to do, Madam Speaker, because your government can disappear. But the St. Lucia Labour Party, Madam Speaker, faces a challenge of how they're going to reform and move in the new direction. And that is the biggest challenge. Madam Speaker, I think it's a very good atmosphere in here, and I would like to see it continue in my capacity as the Deputy Speaker. And I thank you very much, Madam Speaker.